Good afternoon, and thank you very much for joining us here at Sun Sounds for the Tuesday, October 22nd edition of the East Valley News. I'm J.W. Nicholas, your reader for the next half hour, and we'll be looking at some news from the past week in Chandler, Gilbert, and Sun Lakes. And we'll get right into it this afternoon with an article from the Chandler Arizonan by Ken Sain, Arizonan Managing Editor, Chandler studying longer airport runway. For 8 months a year, the largest jets that currently use Chandler Municipal Airport are able to take off and land within safety protocols. The other 4 months, however, they avoid the airport, costing the city a lot of money and lost economic opportunity. Ryan Reeves, the manager of Chandler Airport, told a gathering at a Chandler Chamber of Commerce event October 2nd that the effort to extend one of the airport's runways is primarily about allowing those bigger jets that already use the airport to land all 12 months of the year. "It's the altitude," Reeves said. "The hotter the air gets, the thinner the air gets. Airplanes perform less well in thin air. The air outside right now is kind of like the air in Denver. Even though we're at 1,200 feet above sea level, it acts like it's a mile higher. When valley temperatures get hot, the safety protocols for those larger jets require longer runways so they can build up the airspeed needed to take off. A lot of operators choose not to operate at airports with less than 5,000 feet, Reeves said. "Our runway is currently at 4,870. The city is just beginning the process of asking voters to approve the addition of 680 feet to the Chandler Municipal Airport runway so that those jets will be able to use it 12 months a year. Reeves said no bigger jets will suddenly be using the airport if Chandler has a runway that's 5,550 feet long. "I could make the runway 12,000 feet long, and I still couldn't land larger aircraft because it's all dependent upon the thickness of pavement," he said. "The pavement will only support 30,000-pound single-wheel weight. So when you talk about dual-wheel main gear, say 60,000 pounds, we still have a weight limit on the airport. I think of a 75,000-pound total maximum takeoff weight, which our pavement throughout the airport will support. Chandler voters have twice before, in 2000 and 2011, rejected efforts to extend the runway. A city ordinance approved in 1997 requires voter approval to lengthen the runway. Unless city council removes that stipulation, the final decision would be up to the voters. The city is moving ahead with plans to call for a bond election in 2025. Reeves said it will be ambitious to put together a bond proposal for the longer runway by that time. He said the city is just now launching an economic impact study to see what passage of a longer runway would mean to the city. "We're looking at economic, environmental, and what it means for not only Chandler, but the region," Reeves said. The airport already brings in a lot of revenue for the city. Reeves said an Arizona Department of Transportation 2021 Aviation Economic Impact Study credited the airport for generating $55.8 million a year in economic activity. Chandler was not the only airport to give an update at the Chandler event. The two largest valley airports were also represented. Phoenix Mesa Gateway Airport. Ultimately, officials at Phoenix Mesa Gateway Airport want a new terminal that will have jetways to the plane, so there's no more climbing up stairs to get on board. The holdup is the price tag, $800 million. "The next phase for us is an airport on the east side along Ellsworth Road," said Ryan Smith, Gateway Director of Community and Government Relations. "We would start with 14 gates, but have the ability to expand even further. This would be an entirely brand new airport. We're not going to start this tomorrow, because the price tag on that today is about $800 million. And unless anyone's willing to give us a loan, we don't have $800 million. But we're starting today to talk about what that looks like and what the future looks like." He also highlighted some of the major changes at Gateway, including a 5-gate, 30,000-square-foot terminal addition and a new traffic control tower. Smith also highlighted many of the businesses setting up shop at Gateway, including Gulfstream, Virgin Galactic, and X-Energy, Climate Systems. Sky Harbor Airport. Gateway is not the only airport looking at major expansion. Lexi Van Haren said Terminals 3 and 4 at Sky Harbor International Airport in Phoenix are nearing capacity. Like Gateway, Phoenix officials have started to have conversations about a new terminal on the west side. Van Haren, Air Services Development Manager for Sky Harbor, said they have completed work on the final concourse for Terminal 4 and are currently building a new concourse for Terminal 3. After that, Van Haren said, this will be the last concourse we can build. We're starting looking at and assessing the cost and resources needed for a west terminal that would be located on the west side of the airport, she said. We're in the very beginning phases of this, and like Ryan Smith said, these projects are very long-term, especially when you are having to build something as large as that, and the environmental impact analysis can take many years. She said a couple of other major projects at Sky Harbor is construction of a Skyway walkway from Terminal 3 to Terminal 4 that is behind the security check areas. Currently, passengers on most international flights have to leave the security checkpoints of one terminal, travel to the next, then go through security again. And like Chandler, Sky Harbor's officials want to lengthen one of the runways, and it's because of the same reason, summer heat. During the summer, our airlines want a little bit more length in order to be able to depart, and especially wide-body jets, Van Haren said. So they request use of the north runway. Those requests are leading to longer waits for other planes to take off and land. If they're having to wait out on the airfield and taxi around, it's burning fuel, she said. They're losing money. And the next story, also from the Chandler, Arizonan, this also by Ken Sain, Arizonan Managing Editor. Construction woes just beginning on Loop 202. Any resident who has undertaken a major home improvement quickly understands the adage, you have to break a few eggs to make an omelet. Before things can get better, they have to get worse. And sometimes it's a mess. Motorists on the Loop 202 Santan Freeway during rush hour have no doubt noticed crews are already working on widening it. Starting in 2025, it's going to get worse. As part of the project to widen the freeway to ease congestion that is now a regular feature during rush hours, the Arizona Department of Transportation, ADOT, is going to have to shut down exit ramps while it works on the bridges at major intersections. It could shut down up to 3 exit ramps at a time, though ADOT officials said they will never close 2 consecutive exits, so the most drivers will have to detour is a mile. One of the really nice benefits of this job is we're working on the sides of the freeway, which means there's not going to be a lot of impact when you're on the freeway itself because all of the work's being done on the shoulder, said Carolyn Ludington, the Community Relations Project Manager for ADOT. We started in August this year, and so far the impact has not been too terrible. Next year we're going to start some long-term ramp closures. Ludington was one of 3 featured speakers at an October 4th Chandler Chamber of Commerce event on transportation. ADOT is adding 2 lanes in each direction to the Santan Freeway from the Loop 101 freeway interchange to Gilbert Road. It will also add 1 lane in each direction from Gilbert Road to Val Vista Drive. Another major improvement involves removal of existing asphalt and then diamond grind the concrete underneath to a smooth roadway surface. It will do that from the Loop 101 interchange all the way to Williams Field Road in Gilbert. With diamond grinding, if anything happens, it's more easily repaired because it's concrete, Ludington said. Whereas with rubberized asphalt, it was very difficult to try to catch because things didn't adhere as well. This will alleviate a lot of that problem of deterioration of your roadways. The final part of the project is widening off-ramps and overpass bridges. Ludington said ADOT will detour traffic to either Pecos or German roads when they shut down an exit to work on the bridge. People will just have to get used to taking a mile ahead or a mile later, Ludington said. Closures are under 60 days in total for each ramp. an ADOT official said, because of limits of workers and equipment, is unlikely they could close more than three ramps at a time. Chandler Transportation. Ryan Peters, Chandler's Strategic Initiatives Director, spoke about the city's transportation projects. He said, at this point in the city's development, most of the money it spends from the half-cent sales tax voters will be considering in Prop 479 is to improve major streets. One street that has no plans to widen so it can handle a high capacity is Arizona Avenue, which the city is planning to be a major pedestrian corridor. They want traffic to go slower through that street to make it safer for pedestrians. Others, however, they are widening when possible. The city is also focused on improving bike lanes. The protected lanes for Fry Road are being delayed. Peters said there are some engineering hurdles to clear before construction can start. It was originally hoped construction would start by the end of this year. Peters said it's more likely early next year. One of the challenges is the bike lane will pass by a city fire station. Engineers had to figure out how best to handle a protected bike lane with emergency vehicles that need to get in and out quickly. There are also a number of businesses on Fry that have similar concerns about their customers and employees getting in and out through the protected bike lane. The city intends to use barriers to separate cyclists from motorists along Fry Road from the Paseo Trail to San Marcos Park, which is about a half mile west of Arizona Avenue. The hope is that this would provide a safe way to reach downtown Chandler via bicycle. There are also four schools along Fry Road, so this would make it safer for children who bike to their classes. And our final article for the Chandler area also comes from the Chandler Arizonan and also from Ken Sain, Arizonan Managing Editor. Waterless Water Park slides into Chandler. The best way to describe Chandler's new entertainment center is a giant water park, but without the water. That's according to Jack Stooks, who is co-general manager of the Slick City Event Center that opened recently at 845 North 54th Street, across the street from the Ice Den. We got the biggest and only waterless water park. I guess that is probably the best way to describe it, Stooks said. He said the owner and operator of the H2WO water slide at Lake Pleasant was looking for a way to bring that fun indoors. Slick City is the result of Gary Schmidt's efforts. The space has 11 slides inside the air-conditioned room. It kind of grew from that idea, Stooks said. He's sort of a mastermind of sorts, and he kind of figured out a way to do it without water. This is the second Arizona location. Peoria was the first. There are five other locations nationally, in Colorado, Illinois, Missouri, and two in Texas, and another will open up at the Talking Stick Entertainment Complex next month. There is also a sports court which allows nearly anyone to dunk a basketball with an air-filled playing surface. Slick City also has a children's play area, as well as an event room available for corporate events or birthday parties. Slick City charges by the minute. It costs about $26 for 90 minutes and $31 for 2 hours. Everyone using the slides also must sign a waiver. For people who love the slides, there are monthly passes available starting at $65. For that price, kids can use the slides for 2 hours a day. There is no weight or height restriction, though the slides are only for children 4 and older. The Junior Jungle play area is designed for children not old enough to play on the slides. Slick City also has a cafe for food and drinks and serves beer and wine to adults. The cafe offers pizza, chicken tenders, french fries, and other classic fare. Stooks said he'll eventually become the area manager once Slick City opens more locations, which it plans to open eventually in Queen Creek and Mesa. Each person sliding uses a mat in all landing zones, are the same material in the sports court, making sure every landing is soft and bouncy. Stooks said he is hoping businesses will consider Slick City for their team building events. The corporate room has 7 tables in it, so it can handle large events. When he was growing up in North Central Phoenix, Stooks said he traveled to the Ice Den all the time to play hockey. It feels like I'm back, he said. one of the attractions was not quite ready for the grand opening, and that's the zip line. Stook said he expects it to be available soon. Parents interested in booking a birthday party can do so now. Stook said the Chandler location of Slick City has 65 employees, but is looking for more employees. He encouraged anyone who might like to work there to head to the website to apply. For more information, you can call 602-641-3888 or visit slickcity.com/West Chandler. You are listening to the East Valley News on Sun Sounds of Arizona. I'm your reader, J.W. Nicholas, and we're looking at news of the past week from Chandler, Gilbert, and Sun Lakes. As a quick reminder, if you missed any part of this program or others you enjoy on Sun Sounds, you can access them on demand anytime on our website at www.sunsounds.org. Find it under Broadcast, Info, and Audio. And now we'll move along to our next story from the Sun Lake Splash by Kim Kubsch. Estate clearing, how to wrap up a well-lived life. Clearing a home after someone passes away can be an emotional and challenging task. Here are the first five steps to help you through the process. The last five steps will follow in next month's column. Clearing an estate can be a very long process that requires diligent time and effort. Number one, gather necessary documents. Death certificate. Expedite this, since you need them, original and copies, for legal and financial matters. Financial access and settlements are limited until the death certificate is secured. Allow 7 to 21 days for your state to process once the paperwork is filed. Consider completing the Arizona Death Registration Worksheet in advance of one's death to help expedite processing the death certificate upon death. Will and estate documents. These dictate the distribution of belongings. Financial documents. Look for bank statements, insurance policies, etc. Number two, notify relevant parties. Family members, inform close relatives and ask for their input or assistance. Lawyers, executors. If there's a will, coordinate with the executor to ensure you're following the decedent's wishes. Utility companies. Cancel or transfer accounts for electricity, water, etc. Number three, secure the property. Change locks if necessary, especially if keys are missing or if there are concerns about unauthorized access. Forward mail. Contact the post office to have mail forwarded to a designated address. Four, sort through belongings. Categorize items. Divide items into categories such as keep, donate, sell, and discard. Sentimental items. Be sensitive to family members who may want to keep certain things. Valuables. Identify items of financial value, e.g. jewelry, antiques, that may need appraisal, and search carefully for hidden treasures. When sorting through books, Bibles, album jackets, and the like, be sure to look through every page, because often we find cash, keys, or jewelry inside book pockets. Clothing. Check all pockets and remove clothing from hangers to be sure a hanger safe is not given away. Purses. Check all pockets and zippered compartments. Hairbrush. Be sure to twist the end of the hairbrush barrel to be sure valuables are not stashed inside. Freezers are a typical hiding place for trusts and wills. Also, watch for credit cards, coins, etc. to be stored inside containers that appear to be food items. Pantry. Check for stashed treasures inside food boxes and containers. Chests and trunks are often a good place to stash valuables. Business card files often include gift cards with remaining credit for use by anyone who presents the card. Search for gift cards or credits from places like Amazon, consignment stores, and online shopping sites. Legal and important documents like deeds and medical records, plus 7 years of full tax returns. 5. Distribute personal belongings. Follow the will. Distribute items according to the deceased's wishes. Family distribution. If a will does not exist, discuss distribution with family members. Donations. Consider donating items that are in good condition to your loved one's favorite charities. My goal as a downsizing professional is to ensure you're prepared for your expiration date. Clients often express their intent not to be a burden on their children and loved ones, but they are a burden if they have not prepared for their demise. Stay tuned for monthly articles about decluttering, downsizing, organizing, making transitions, and clearing of estates. Call me at 480-720-8566 to learn about my free 30-minute consultation or to speak to your group or event. To purchase my book, Getting Your Life Together Organizer, purchase on Amazon or via my website, www.joyfuldownsizing.com. And now we move along into the Gilbert area with an article from the Gilbert Sun News by Aparna Sekhar, GSN staff writer. Sisters blame Gilbert paramedics for mom's death. Jacqueline Ascheri, a 61-year-old Gilbert resident, was in reasonably good health until February 27th. That evening, after complaining of a debilitating headache, Ascheri was admitted to a Gilbert hospital where she died 2 days later. The events that went down in those 48 hours before her death prompted her daughters, Amanda Morris and Alicia Glaus, have each filed a $5 million wrongful death claim against the town and four Gilbert Fire and Rescue Department employees. Although the two women's lawyer, Brigham A. Clough of Phoenix-based Clough Injury Lawyers, did not respond to a request for comment, he details the alleged events in a claim filed August 21st and blames the conduct of two EMTs and two paramedics for Ascheri's death, saying they minimized her complaints until it was too late. A claim is a required precursor to a lawsuit, and a governmental entity has 60 days to respond before it is considered denied. The town of Gilbert extends its deepest sympathies to the family of Jacqueline Ascheri. The loss of a loved one is an unimaginable tragedy, and our thoughts are with Amanda Morris, Alicia Glaus, and their entire family, Gilbert Town spokeswoman Jennifer Harrison said in a statement to GSN. She also said that the town is currently investigating the circumstances surrounding the allegations and that Gilbert has not previously received any similar claims about the Fire and Rescue Department. The Gilbert Fire and Rescue Department is committed to providing the highest standard of care and support to the community and continually reviews and updates its procedures to ensure the safety and well-being of all residents, Harrison said. According to the claim, Ascheri was a cancer survivor, having been in remission for 5 years. She also had hypertension. Despite her well-managed hypertension, Jacqueline began to experience the worst headache of her life, along with nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, and a dangerously high blood pressure reading of 220 over 112, Clough writes about the February 27th medical emergency. Fearing for her health, Ascheri called Morris, who in turn called 911 after she saw her mother's state. Two Gilbert paramedics and two EMTs arrived by 7:28 p.m. on a fire apparatus vehicle, which cannot transport patients, the claim states. The paramedics remained at Jacqueline's home for approximately 16 minutes, Clough wrote, adding they recorded blood pressure readings of 207 over 102 and 209 over 102 during that time, as well as mean arterial pressure readings of 137 and 138. Jacqueline's MAP readings should have set off alarms in the minds of the paramedics, as they signified a dangerously high level of arterial pressure, putting her at serious risk for life-threatening conditions such as stroke, kidney failure, and heart failure, the claim states. Morris, who was present during the visit, said that the paramedics downplayed the seriousness of the situation and did not convince her mother to go to the hospital, according to the claim. Even after Morris told the paramedics about her concerns of her mother having a stroke, it continues, the paramedics did not call for an ambulance, call for the police for assistance, or contact a physician to talk to her mother. The standard of care required that the paramedics do more to impress upon Jacqueline the urgency of the condition, Clough alleges. After the paramedics left, Glaus arrived, and was also shocked at the lack of action by the emergency team, the claim states. Both the sisters then spent over an hour convincing their mother to go to the hospital and finally succeeded in transporting her themselves to Banner Gateway Hospital in Mesa, arriving there by 9:16 p.m. Yet the damage was already done, according to the claim. Ascieri was already experiencing more severe conditions when she arrived. When Jacqueline arrived at the hospital, she was experiencing altered mental status, the claim states. The cause of death was brain edema secondary to subarachnoid hemorrhage and anterior communicating artery aneurysm rupture, Clough continues. He noted that such a hemorrhage can cause a severe headache known as a thunderclap headache, which is due to a sudden increase in intracranial pressure. Clough explains that he is requesting compensation on behalf of his clients for the paramedics' alleged negligence and from the town for their negligence in hiring and training their employees. In individual claims filed on behalf of Morris and Glaus, Clough recounts the sisters' relationship with their mother and how each of them has been affected by her death. Jacqueline played a significant role in shaping Amanda's personal and professional life, he wrote. The sudden loss of her mother has forever changed Amanda's life. Glaus shared a similar close relationship with their mother, Clough says, writing, Ascieri played a dual role in her life as both mother and father since Alicia was 17. According to Clough, Glaus is especially affected by her mother's death due to the closeness they shared after losing her father. And that's all the time we have for the East Valley News for this Tuesday edition of the East Valley News for Chandler Gilbert and Sun Lakes. I would like to thank you once more for joining us today for the East Valley News and provide you one more quick reminder. You can always find these programs on Sun Sounds on our website at www.sunsounds.org and look under broadcast info and audio. You can also find us on any of your connected devices streaming via our Sun Sounds of Arizona mobile app, available for Apple and Android phones and tablets. Once again, I'm your volunteer reader, J.W. Nicholas. Please stay tuned for the Arizona Republic coming up next on Sun Sounds of Arizona.